Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 38 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. In today's episode, my guest is Karonda Adair from Carvel Digital in Portland, Oregon, the United States of America. I met Karonda through two online courses we're both participating in, and I've been following her work with great interest for quite a while. I'm a firm believer in her philosophies that a website is a business tool and should be working to grow your business, as well as the idea of establishing your authority by publishing useful information. We talk about all those things on the podcast, briefly touch on cats and dogs, camping, bike riding, and photography. All of those topics, however, are going to have to wait for another time because we did focus on the business aspects and business lessons, of which there are a lot in this interview. It's another fabulous interview, and there's lots of great advice there for innovative entrepreneurs. So let's get into the innovation hive and get the buzz from Karonda Adair.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have here with me today on the episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from Portland, Oregon in the USA, Karonda Adair of Carvel Digital. Welcome, Karonda. It's a privilege to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, and excellent job with name pronunciation.
Okay, well, I've been listening to some of your other podcasts where I think you educate people on how to do it.
It paid off.
Yeah. So in addition to being the owner of Carvel Digital, Karonda is doing some really neat and innovative things with online workshops and building an audience and funding the products. So I'm really pleased to see that because it's an interesting model and I'd like to explore that a little bit more. Now, I've been stalking you for a while. We've had a bit of a joke around that. But I first heard you on a podcast with Troy Dean, and then I looked up some of the links that were posted there, and I really like your philosophy around websites. And there's one thing you said, it could have been in that podcast or somewhere else, that I use a lot in presentations, and that's a website as a business tool, not an art project.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we'll get back to that. But then I learned you're also a keen cyclist, a keen photographer, and you love cats. So I thought, wow, we've got four things in common. So
awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, we can talk some more about that. And you're also a regular speaker and, at tech forums, at WordPress, WordCamps and other WordPress meetups. And also you're an advocate for... equality or diversity, I think is the right term,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, it's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, before we start talking about websites and digital marketing and crowdfunding and all that sort of geeky stuff, let's find out a little bit more about you. So we know about the photography and cycling and cats, but when you were a child, did you have ambitions to get into the computer internet world?
I did not. I wasn't particularly into computers. I was exposed to them at a fairly young age. I was in middle school and I remember doing some DOS programming in one of my middle school classes. And then in high school, I was part of a program where I got a Macintosh computer to use and keep, for all 4 years that I was in high school. So, I mean, I definitely had computers, but I was using them, to write papers and not necessarily to program on my own time or have that as a goal. I really am a writer at heart,
okay,
but I didn't want to pursue like that as a career.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because I look at some of your blog posts and other things you've written, and I think, wow, I wish I could write that well.
Yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out how I could spend more time doing that. I know a lot of people Troy included, are like, oh, I wish I could pass this off, and they figure out ways to, you know, have other people do the writing for them. But it's actually the part that I really like.
Yeah. Mm. So what did you work as a writer then?
Not really. I mean, I wrote for school and college, and I wrote for myself. And I started before there were blogs and before there was MailChimp. I just started an email list where it was me BCCing a bunch of people about what I was up to, and I called it Chick Beat, and I would just do that, you know, every so often when the mood hit me, and then I ended up on LiveJournal when that was a thing, and then moved to Blogger, and then eventually WordPress. So I've just always been expressing myself, and just the medium changes.
Yeah. So what inspired you then to start up a digital marketing agency? Was that the first, your first own business?
Yeah, that is my first time starting a business. And I wasn't raised in an entrepreneurial family, really. And so I had a lot of different jobs. And so what inspired me to go into tech in particular was I was project managing, and I had a meeting with our developer, who was a freelance developer. So he waltzed in, and we had our meeting. It was about half an hour, and he left. And I was like, he gets to leave this office and go wherever he wants, and he doesn't have to, like, sit, you know, a door down from my boss, who I didn't really like. And, you know, I just had this light bulb and decided, like, I'm going to become a developer because I can do that. You know, it just seemed like a much more independent career potentially. And so I ended up going to school and getting a scholarship and graduating with an official degree in web design and interactive marketing, or web design and interactive media, from the Art Institute of Portland. And then I went to work for an agency for a couple of years, and then I got fired for culture fit. There's air quotes around that. So at that point I thought, well, I've been kind of had my eye on, like, going out on my own. So that seemed like a fine time to do it. And so that was 3.5 years ago, and I hung out my shingle, and here I've been ever since.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about Carvel Digital.
Well, Carvel is my middle name, I'm terrible at naming things. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah,
not as many people ask me as I would think, because it's a weird word.
But, I wondered about that. I was thinking, how does that come out of Coronda? But
it's one of those things, you know, in my culture, you need a name that flows together, the first and the middle names. When your parents are mad at you, they can, like, say it all together, you know. Coronda Carvel, get your butt back in here. So I started that up, and then, you know, I got clients in the beginning by just going to WordPress meetups, the user-centered WordPress meetups, kind of hanging out and trying to be helpful. And sure enough, I found one woman who, you know, kind of latched onto me. She was like, oh, I need lots of stuff done. And, you know, she's like, I can give you 40 hours a week of work. And I'm like, well, that sounds like a job, which is not what I signed up
That's
for.
That's right.
But, you know, I was new, so of course I said yes, and worked for her for about 9 months until I could afford to move on to better clients.
Mm. And over the last year, you've kind of pivoted the business a little bit, haven't you?
I have. So, you know, through following Troy and Brent Weaver from YouGurus and a lot of other smart people, I really have started to focus more on recurring revenue, because I think, you know, I think you eventually learn to figure out recurring revenue in your business, or you end up just looking for a job, because the whole feast or famine thing is just, it's too stressful. And so, you know, I started last year doing website care plans. And so, you know, for so much a month, we will take care of your website, we'll do support, you know, for a little bit more a month, we'll do marketing and strategy and things like that. So I started doing that a year ago, but it's really been more of a slow build up. But I eventually got to the point earlier this year where I was like, I'm not going to work with anybody unless they're on a care plan. So unless they're, you know, committed enough to their website to put their credit card in and say, yeah, let's do this, you know, that's what I need, that level of with somebody. And that's just been so much nicer, you know, to be able to have an ongoing relationship with clients, to be able to kind of tell them every month, like, here's what I think you should be focused on, and to, you know, make, you know, gradual progress and actually see how far we've come, has been really great.
It is an amazing transformation. I mean, I've essentially gone down that track as well. And I guess the big thing for me is it's actually win-win-win all round, because the clients know that you're there for them in whatever they happen to need, and they know that you can call on them. And I've found that it tends to bring in better clients, so not the ones that are micromanaging and looking over your shoulder and saying, you know, can you move this 3 pixels to the left or that
exactly
kind of stuff. Saying, hey, we need more leads, or we need this, and, you know, can you take care of that?
Exactly, yeah. And I had someone who came on recently who, you know, they kept asking, like, well, do you have anything where it's not every month? Like, can we just call you in emergencies? And I'm like, well, no, because if you're having an emergency, that means your site wasn't well managed. And why would you operate that way?
Yeah, exactly.
So they come around.
And if it's an emergency, it is quite likely a lot more work to fix that up rather than, you know, having maintained it all along.
Exactly.
And tell us a little bit about the training program that you've put together and how you've gone about marketing that.
So last year, or probably longer ago than last year, I started following Nathan Barry, and he wrote the book Authority, and it's basically about how to write a book and become an expert in your niche. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna write an ebook, because I meet so many clients and so many people who just have no clue whatsoever about the web, how it works, how to effectively have your business online. And I was running into these same problems. You know, people wouldn't even own their domain name, which is kind of like, it's kind of like going through all the process to buy a house with a real estate agent and then letting them sign the papers. And so many people do that. And they don't realize, like, that developer owns your online business. They could walk away with it at any time. And so this started out as just an idea, like, to write an ebook. And then I realized, like, with all the work involved in trying to DIY these things when you're not, don't have a technical background, I'm like, okay, nobody's going to get any value out of an ebook. They're going to read it and go, that's nice, and they're not going to do anything. So then I'm like, okay, I need to make a course. And this was right around the time that, you know, everybody was kind of talking about making courses, and I've joined way too many courses in the last 2 years, but gotten a lot of value out of them. And so last fall I did a beta of, it's called Websites That Work, and it's basically to teach people, either people who, you know, maybe they don't have the budget to spend $5,000 or $10,000 on a website, but they want to get online and they want to do it in a way that's going to scale. So that's one audience. And then the other potential audience is people who maybe they do have the money to hire someone, but they have no experience in running a web project. And I've seen projects, you know, die because of bad clients. And when I say bad, I mean, they just don't understand the process and how they need to be involved in it. So they're really focused on the wrong things. So, I mean, I have a client, I have a project hanging out there that's over a year old that should have been done, you know, in 4 months, but we spent, you know, 2 months dinking around about the logo, and, you know, then they disappear and, like, all this stuff. And it's like, if we had just buckled down and got this thing done, even if it wasn't perfect, it would be up and it would be helping your business, and then you can improve on it. But having nothing for over a year, like, that's a huge opportunity cost to the business. Yeah. You know, it's expensive on both sides. And so, you know, having the right client and having the client understand, you know, the process and what's important in terms of your website is there to bring leads to your business. And, you know, it's not an art project. It's not about, you know, whether you like it. I mean,
exactly.
Yes, you should, like, to a point, you know, you shouldn't hate it, but really it's about, you know, is it giving your potential customers the information that they need to make a decision to buy from you? And so, you know, I wanted to sort of help people understand that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much there that I really like, just the whole philosophy, and that a lot of people forget, isn't it? It's not about, like, my website is not about me.
Yeah, and, you know, you have to make decisions that are business decisions, you know, that
Yeah,
are not
exactly.
based on like, well, I really like yellow. You know, if there's no reason for that, you know, I have one client who their website is really pretty, but there's so much text inside of images, which is horrible for SEO. Like there's major part, you know, it's horrible for SEO. It's horrible for accessibility. You know, if you are on there and you want to, you know, you want to look up something that they're talking about and you want to try to like cut and paste that into a Google search, you can do it. You know, things like that, that people just don't understand. Like, and I have a post on my blog about sort of my philosophy of design, because I love design. I appreciate good design, but I think good design is about facilitating the transaction. And so, and not just like making it look pretty. So it's really hard to find web designers who understand that.
Yeah. All right. Well, talk us a little bit through how you're marketing that training program, because I particularly like the innovative approach you took to kind of do the lean startup there. And I guess, I mean, I have to divulge that I was involved in that beta program, so I actually saw it evolve. But I like the way you kind of got support for it before you put a lot of resource into building it.
Yeah, so I did a fundraiser back in April on Indiegogo, and that was, you know, it's good for marketing because it gets the word out, but it's also good for fundraising, and that was fairly successful. And you know, it's really nice to do. Like, it's hard to put yourself out there like that, but also it's really good to see like, oh, these people support me enough, and they're actually willing to put dollars behind that because they believe in this. So that's really, you know, great to have that actual support. And so that went pretty well. And then, you know, I think there was one podcast I was on where they said, well, how do you balance, you know, building your product with client work? And I said, badly, which is still true. So, you know, I actually got a new client, and we're doing a project to build out a learning management system that is the same as what I use for my course, because they already have a couple of online courses and they're doing another one and they really need a better platform. And I said, well, you know, I have this over here, and they were like, ooh, yeah, that looks good. We
that
want
looks
that.
Nice. Yeah. That does look
so,
nice too.
You know, so I'm spending a lot of time and energy building that, and then also trying to make progress with, you know, the product and getting content. And one of the hardest things is just figuring out, you know, what do people want? Because that's how you have to market to them, is based on their pain points. And then what do they need? Like, what are they really struggling with? And so this weekend, I'm headed down to WordCamp Orange County, California. And I submitted a talk basically to help non-technical business owners get online, and they came back with, we love this idea, we want to make it a discussion. And so they made it, you know, a longer session, and they want me to kind of lead the discussion of like, what are the challenges that you're having, which is like basically user research for me. So that's awesome.
Yeah that's great.
And I'm looking forward to that this weekend. So yeah, my next step is really to just try to get out and connect with more people who are my target audience and try to figure out like how it is I can help them.
That's great. So so your one-on-one clients, they would be a different target audience than your workshop clients, your training program clients?
Correct. Yeah, and I'm probably going to end up starting a separate company for the two, or separate brand. Just they are so different, and there's, you know, it's a little bit integrated. There's blog posts and things about websites that work on my current site, but I'm going to split that off pretty soon. And because it is very different, you know, for my one-to-one clients, you know, you're looking at, you know, for sites, kind of a minimum investment around $5,000, which is really out of reach for a lot of small businesses and startups. And then, you know, for ongoing work, anywhere from, you know, $97 a month to $2,500 a month for, if you want, you know, AdWords or SEO or things like that. So, so yeah, it's a different audience, and I prefer those to be, you know, more established businesses who have an audience, because then we can really take that and improve on it. Whereas when people are starting from nothing, like a lot of people try to build from nothing with very little or no money, and it just, it doesn't work. So yeah, the course is really for that segment of like, okay, here's how you get off the ground in a way that's not gonna, you know, give you regrets later.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that model. And I started doing some in-person workshops, but with, you know, group training based on, you know, helping them do it themselves, but do it right. And it's very much the same philosophy, what you said at the end there, that, you know, if people don't have the budget, they might go and spend $500 or $1,000 to get somebody to do a website, and that's just a waste of money, because it's, you know, it might be a nice brochure, but it's not a business tool.
Exactly. And I actually recently connected with a group in Portland called the Portland Underground Graduate School, PUGS. We love acronyms up here. And so I talked to them, and I'm working with them on possibly doing an in-person class through their existing structure. And it wouldn't probably be like, okay, we're going to build a whole website, because I think it's 4 weeks and it's only 2 hours a week. But it would be sort of empowering people, because one of the other problems is that when people have this idea of themselves as, I'm not technical and I can't do that, well, it's probably not as hard as they think. They just need some guidance and some walkthroughs and to learn how to figure out the things that they need to do. And I think that's hugely valuable for people. And I've seen that happen with people who went through the beta course, where they were really like, oh, I don't know about that, I just let my developer do it, and they have no control and they don't own our stuff, to, okay, I know I need to own these things. I need to, you know, it needs to be in my name, and I give access to the people who are helping me, and they're not afraid to do that, and they understand how to do it. So I think even that is hugely valuable.
Oh, yeah. You can't overestimate that, because the, you know, you can end up getting somebody to help with the technical aspects of it if you've got a understanding of the fundamentals and the, you've got the foundation right. So it was interesting, in the very first in-person workshop I did, one of the participants at lunchtime, so we'd done 4 hours, and he said, oh, we haven't got onto the computer yet, and we haven't started doing some geeky stuff on the computer. You know, we haven't gotten into WordPress or anything yet. And he said, this is all fantastic, but I'm a little disappointed we haven't got onto the computer. And I said, that's because you're not ready. You know, so we spent the morning talking about what are your business objectives, what are the outcomes you're wanting to achieve, defining the target audience and those kind of things. And a lot of people kind of park that or put that aside, and later on they wonder, why isn't this working?
Exactly. Or they're frozen trying to pick a WordPress theme when they haven't thought about, you know, their audience and who they're trying to reach and what. Yeah, that's so typical, and people want to skip that stuff, including us. Like,
oh yeah, of course.
You know, and we have the ability to go straight to the geeky stuff, which is even worse.
That's the danger. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the work you have to do. And, you know, I structured my course so that, you know, we talk about those foundations, domain and hosting and that kind of thing. You know, what's the difference between WordPress.com and self-hosted, you know, all that stuff. And then, you know, we talk about who's your audience, and we talk about how that, you know, how deciding who you're trying to market to then affects your content. And then not until week 4 do we start talking about technology and how do you actually, you know, because then you have the background and you've done the work to make those decisions of, okay, what kind of theme do I need? Like, do I have a photography heavy thing, or do I have a text heavy site? You know, so yeah, the tech part becomes much easier when you do that background work ahead of time. And the first time I redid my website, I actually went and filled out my own inquiry form. Because I was like, what am I trying to do? And that was really useful. I'm like, oh, there's a reason I make people do this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because when I implemented that, I found that years ago, and I knew of Troy, but I actually came across the original version. I think it was Andy Andy Clark.
Oh, that sounds right.
Yeah, and it was just a Word document, and I thought, oh, this is neat. And I thought, I should work with people and fill this out when building the websites. And then I sort of sat down and did it for myself, and I thought, this is really hard.
Yeah, it's really hard to do for yourself. It's really easy to talk people to talk other people through it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, what do you see as the biggest trap in doing something that's a little bit out there, a little bit innovative, and you know, how do you sell those ideas as well?
Well, I mean, it's always riskier being on the front lines, which I'm not sure I am. I think courses are a really big thing right now. And I'm sure there's other people out there doing like teaching sort of DIY web stuff. But I haven't personally like come across a lot of it, maybe because I'm not the target audience. But, you know, there's always the risk of people going like, oh, that's dumb, or just not being interested. And I think I've learned a lot about how to figure out what the market wants before you spend all that time and energy building something. Like, go in little steps, you know, see if people really want what you're selling before you invest hugely on it. And that's kind of the stage I'm at right now, is, you know, I'm working on a mini course. It's like showing people exactly how to register a domain, because that's the number one problem I see, is people don't own their domains. I'm like, look, here's how you register it with someone other than GoDaddy, because I can't stand them. You know, and here's how you actually like get a website, you know, get a website host, and here are the ones, you know, that are good and reputable, and will do backups for you. And so taking people through that stuff that a lot of people find really intimidating. So that's what I'm going to be working on. That's going to be coming out in the next month or so, and just put that out there and see, you know, what that does. See if people resonate with that and think it's useful, and then go from there.
Yeah. Sorry. I had to laugh there about GoDaddy, because if people search Caronda and GoDaddy, you'll find lots of stuff.
What I really think. Poor guy. The GM, the general manager of GoDaddy Hosting, emailed me, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but you'll be okay. you know, and I think they're a little bit better than they used to be, but it's not, you know, there's so many great hosts out there. It's like, you know, I don't need to go back. He offered me, you know, free account or whatever, and I was like, no, like, that's great that you're improving, and they have plenty of business.
Yeah.
They're not gonna go under. But I just you know, based on, and even today I did a discovery for a client, and we didn't end up being a good fit to work together, but I did promise her that I would just go in and update all her plugins and themes and things. And man, I let that sit there for way, way too long, because she's hosted on GoDaddy. Mm. And I was like, well, I don't want to go in and do this until I have a backup. But getting a backup was so painful that it just, like, every time I'd go to do it, I'd be like, oh, I don't have time for this. And so I finally sat down and did it today. But it was just like, this is why I don't do this. It's like, you know, I've talked to people who have problems getting Backup Buddy to work, which is one of the go-to backup solutions. Mm. You know, none of my sort of techniques and scripts that I've developed for deploying sites, none of those work on GoDaddy. And so I'm just like, well, you know, there's other options.
Yeah, that's right. I need to adapt to something that's just not, doesn't meet current standards.
Yeah, so I went through last year, you know, trying a bunch of different hosts and ended up on Flywheel, and I'm really happy with them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely really good, and I'm talking to them at the moment based on your recommendation, actually.
Oh, awesome. But, I'll send you my affiliate link.
Yeah, do that. But you know, we have other ones that we use as well, and we also have IT companies or hosting companies that we have a similar feeling about as GoDaddy. So.
I'm sure, yeah.
But there's one thing you said there, and I think it applies to the GoDaddy discussion as well, that seems to be a theme from all the people I talk to on this podcast. You know, when we talk about innovation and that, you know, and they say, Get really close to what your customer wants and understand what that is. And you know, you think that, oh, that's actually common sense, isn't it? But it isn't. It isn't, because it's kind of a theme that really comes through strongly. And perhaps that's where somebody like GoDaddy is a little bit off the mark.
Yeah, and you know, I met a woman who we were talking, and she had an idea for a web app that she had been working on and spent, you know, somewhere in the area of $12,000, you know, working on this idea without actually having a finished product. And she had an email list of 1,800 people. And I said, well, why aren't you asking them, like, what do you want? And then giving it to them in little, you know, like, you could be funding this, like, as you're going and refining it based on what they actually say they want, not like, I have this grand idea. But it's so hard to do. Like, you know, as tech people or as entrepreneurs, we, you know, we get really married to our idea.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, and you're, you know, you talked earlier about your love of writing, and you're a regular publisher and blogger and do a lot of presentations and so on. Tell us a little bit about blogging and you know, because I think you do this really well. But tell us a little bit about why that's important, because I have this discussion all the time with people, and then how you actually approach it.
So last year I was, you know, I was very sporadic in my blogging, and I wasn't really growing my subscribers, my email subscribers. And I talk a lot about the importance of both of those things. And so I decided, like, okay, I need to start walking the talk. And so almost a year ago, I said, okay, I'm going to publish every week, and I'm going to send out a newsletter, you know, basically directing people back to the blog, and here's why you should read it. And so I did that from July through mid-December. This is through, like, client things and projects that were, you know, going down the tubes, and the beta that I was running, like, but every week, every Thursday, you know, sometimes late in the day on Thursday, I would post a blog post, and it would be something I felt like would be really useful for people. So things about email automation or growing your list, or, you know, which web host you should use, or, you know, things that people ask me all the time. That's really what I blog about. I try to make it so that if someone asks me a question, my answer is a link back to something I've already written. And I'm getting pretty good at that. Like, I send out a lot of links and not a lot of one-off answers. So the reason that's important, like, I feel like it's directly related to me talking to you on this podcast right now. Like, I've done, you know, at least 6 podcasts that have come out this year, and that's in part based on having published regularly and gotten the word out there and becoming established as, you know, this person knows about these things. And that's as a business owner what you need to do. You need to establish yourself as the go-to X for Y. And blogging is one of the easiest, you know, cheapest ways to do that. Video is really big now, but if you can't stand the thought of being on camera, like, blogging still works.
All right. So I hope all my clients and my audience that were listening to that, you don't have to take my word for it now. It's straight from Karonda Adair.
I know. Isn't that half the reason we do these? I've done interviews where I'm like, see, it's not just me.
Yeah, exactly.
Other people are saying it. So I'm telling you, all of Jürgen's clients, you need to blog.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing you said there, I thought, you know, that's classic, because I tell my clients that as well. If, you know, if somebody asks you a question, write that down as the heading for your next blog post. And if you're writing an email to them to answer that question, then save that, and that, because you've already done the blog post then.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, now, you're also very strong on process and documentation, and I heard, I think it was a blog post or a podcast that I was listening to where you spoke about that a little bit. So how does that impact on your business and what particularly what you're doing now with the courses?
It's so huge. I mean, every minute that you spend on documentation or establishing process is hours and hours that you'll save later. Like, future you will thank you so much. And so, yeah, I do have a blog post about, you know, documentation and the importance of it. And so, you know, on that note, I'll share, I have a client who is, you know, we tried to plan, but it was very much a like lots of fires to put out, you know, the first probably year and a half that we worked together. And so we would try to make a plan of like, oh, we're gonna do this, and then it would be like, oh, we need this right now. And that went on for a while, and I would talk to her about, we really need to document these things, and you know, we need to know like how these campaigns work that we're putting together and how the website works with all the integrations and all this stuff. And then she lost two of her key employees within a couple of months of each other. So she hired somebody new, and then just kind of that person took the brunt of trying to take on, you know, kind of both those roles. And nobody knew what this one person did because it wasn't documented.
Yeah.
And then she was just unavailable, largely unavailable. So at that point, she started to understand like, oh, now I'm really stuck because I don't understand, you know, the processes and the things that people are doing in my business. And so when you take the time to create that and then pass it off to somebody and then have them improve it, you know, you're just saving yourself so many hours and so much money, because even if you lose that person, you still have the process and you can more easily train somebody else to take that over. So, and even things that I do, you know, I made a process for posting my blog posts to make sure I don't miss anything, because between the, you know, making sure you do your SEO and making sure you have a click to tweet and making sure you set up your social media posts. And, you know, like there's all this stuff. There's 25 steps in this process. So just having it, even if I'm doing it over and over again, means I can just follow the steps and I don't have to, you know, waste that brain power going, okay, did I remember everything? Does it have a category? You know, I can just follow those steps. And so, yeah, I'm still deep in the mode of just documenting everything I do in my business. And I found a cool tool that's been really helpful called IORAD, I-O-R-A-D.
Oh, that's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah. It lets you make screen captures of what you're doing as you're doing it. And so it just cuts the time, you know, by 90%, because it just captures what you're doing, and then you just go back and edit it, and then you have this nice little, you know, tutorial with screenshots, which is great for people who don't like video. Some people hate video, and they're like, just tell me what to do. So that's a nice text plus image based way to create tutorials.
Yeah, that's right. And you can even set it up so that it says, okay, step one, do this, and then it waits for you to confirm that you've done it, and then you go click yes, done, and then it says, okay, now step two, you do this bit.
Yep. Yeah, so that's been really great.
So we'll have a link to IORAD in the show notes, because I think it's well worth looking at, and there is a free version of that, which the only restriction, if I remember correctly, on the free version is that your processes are public.
Correct.
Yeah. So at least you can play around and see whether it's something that you want to invest in for your business.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for that. What are the biggest challenges that you have right now, Karonda?
My biggest challenge remains the same, and it's time. That's why I'm so stuck on processes. And, you know, I have a virtual assistant that I'm striving to use more effectively, and that's part of the reason why I want to document all these things. But, you know, just trying to manage my time between keeping projects going, making sure I'm taking care of clients and getting them what they need, and then also keeping the product moving. And one thing that I've done to help with that, which is an idea I also stole from Troy, is I don't do meetings on Mondays or Fridays anymore. So all of my client things and meetings are all sandwiched in the middle of the week, and I know that I have those bookends to, really focus without distraction. Not cats not included. So that's always my biggest challenge, and it's getting, I've gotten a little better. And I actually kind of noted earlier today, like, oh, I'm just kind of like humming along, getting stuff done, and any more days like this. So, but then it's conference season. So, Friday I fly to Orange County, and then next month I have another conference, and then we're going camping. So there's always something, and I think just learning how to focus better with the time you have is the main thing. I'm working on it.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? Because I think we all, as small business owners and entrepreneurs, time is a challenge for all of us, but it's learning how what actually is most important and trying to focus on that. So I've started doing this 1-3-5 thing every day. So every morning I spend 10 minutes going through my huge long list of to-dos, and I put together a 1-3-5 list. So the one is the thing that I absolutely must get done today, and then three, I should do those today, and then there's five other things. If I get time, I'll do those as well, and put everything in that. And then at the end of the day, I might only get the one thing done, but at least, if I've defined that's the most important thing today, then at least I feel good because, okay, I haven't got all my lists done, but I've done the most important one, which is, the one that's going to have the biggest impact. So that I've found that quite helpful. And then, the other thing, of course, you mentioned is around balance. And I mean, it is important to get out there and do the speaking, and you're obviously having a lot of success with that. And also the balance, so if you want to go camping, or if you want to go bike riding or photography, which we'll have to talk about offline, I think, then, you'd need to do that as well, because you've got to kind of balance life and work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And last year was the year I kind of was like, okay, this is the year of my business, and was kind of a workaholic all year, and then that didn't really work out. So, I'm still moving forward, but also in the middle of a huge yard renovation, and pondering what kind of dog we might get next year, and just all kinds of things.
All right. Well, the one thing about dogs, I grew up with a dog, but I haven't had one in my adult life. But the one thing I know about dogs is they certainly make sure you go for a walk every day and so on. So there's
Exactly.
that level of balance, right?
Exactly. I'm like, okay, well, I have a year, maybe a little less, maybe 8 or 9 months to get my business to the point where it's like, and we want a puppy, which, we're gonna regret instantly. But I'll get maybe 1 or 2 hour chunks to work until the puppy's older. So, and to make it worse, our friends just brought home a French bulldog yesterday, so we went over and saw that.
So, good old Clucky. All right. Well, as I say, we probably have to talk about photography and bikes and camping and cats and things outside the webinar, because it is getting on a little bit. So let's move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and that's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I'm going to ask you a series of five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers, which you have already. So this will just be a bonus. So what do you think is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I would say listen more to your customers or your audience.
Listen more. Yeah, that's great. And as I said, that comes up quite a lot in these discussions. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or products?
Just taking the consistent pain point that I see, which in my case was education or client lack of education, and trying to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, that's great. So it comes back to customer need again, doesn't it? And what's your favorite tool or system for allowing you to be more productive and innovative?
Wow. That's getting onto a tool question, so that's tough to narrow down. I probably couldn't live without Teamwork, which is my project management tool, and Text Expander, which allows me to just type lots of just things in shortcuts. I'll type a couple of letters and it will expand to different words. And I'll add one more, 1Password. I definitely couldn't live without 1Password. That keeps all of my secure information safe and sound and allows me to share it securely with people.
And that's I've seen that you do some training on that specifically, which is inspiring me to do something as well. I happen to use LastPass, but that
Yeah, same concept. I
it's the
mean,
same.
as
Yeah,
long as you have
exactly. It's the
something.
same concept. So you've got, particularly in our line of business, we've got thousands of passwords, and security is really big thing. So it's not good enough to have pass 1, 2, 3 for everything.
I just took mine down from about 1500 to about 950. Like I did a big clean out, like years old stuff.
We're doing sorting ours into client folders and shared folders at the moment,
Oh
which
yeah,
makes
I
it a
did
little
that too.
easier to manage as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we'll have links to those in the show notes as well. So what's the best thing, what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track?
Standing weekly meeting. That's something that's preached basically by most of the business people that I've followed in the past 2 years. It's like you start out on the same page and then things diverge. And if you can just do that touch point every week or even every few days, depending on the project, it really helps usually. And I haven't been doing a lot of projects. I'm actually doing the first project of this year, and it's just been so helpful to have that.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? I've had 3 or 4 client meetings this week where we've done either content workshops or one was a discovery meeting, and it just, it clarifies that, hey, if you have those discussions and then follow up on them regularly, it just makes it so much easier. All right, and the fifth one, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I'm gonna say just be yourself out loud. I get asked often if I have trouble getting clients because of my Twitter account or because of my personal blog, and it's really the opposite. I've had people contact me because of those things, and I'm not shy about spouting off about whatever is going on or whatever's affecting me. But when you do that, you attract the people who have similar values, and you repel the people who you
That
really
don't,
wouldn't want to deal with.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
people think, oh, I started a business, so I can't say this or can't say that. I'm like, well, yeah, because it's your business, so you can do whatever you want.
And maybe that's why, you get into the situation you described earlier in the corporate world where, you were told you're not a cultural fit, because you're kind of in that inner conflict there. Can you be yourself, and how much do you have to kind of knuckle down and try to fit in or try to behave in a way that people expect you to behave,
Exactly.
or
I'm terrible at
people,
that.
or people decide, is a norm or whatever. And so a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs actually give that advice, be yourself, which, I think it's great advice, and it's a good point you make. If somebody doesn't like what you're saying or how you are, then they won't work with you, and you probably don't want to work with that person.
Exactly.
All right, so what's the future for Carvel Digital, and particularly for these workshops? I mean, I'll be following that with great interest.
As always. So for the course, like I said, I'm working on the mini course and just trying to get out and listen to more people and figure out, where they get stuck and what can I do to help them. And, being someone who's technical, I'm pretty good at breaking things down in non-tech speak, or so I've been told, but it's still something I watch out for, like, the little assumptions that you make about what people know that you don't really know you're making. So I'm definitely getting closer to my potential customers, is in the near future. And then for the business, for Carvel Digital, I'm working on this learning management site for one of my new clients, and I'm really liking what Troy Dean is doing with Rockstar Empires. And he was the inspiration for the platform that I built for my course, and it's, he really has kind of dialed this thing of how to have an engaging online course experience. And so I'm trying to dial in that process, and I'm hoping to build some more of those in the future for people who want to get, get their knowledge out of their head and teach it once and sell it lots of times. So that's something I'm going to be focusing on probably in the next year or so.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm in that program as well, and we'll have a link to that there because we both highly recommend people check that out. And also,
well, and let me tell you what a Troy fan I am. Last week, a week ago today, I flew from Portland to LA for the day just to meet him because he's in the States right now going to a bunch of WordCamps. So that's how awesome Troy Dean is. So I will.
Yeah, and I saw the photo of you two hugging on Facebook. Yeah, so that's great. So big shout out to Troy. So finally, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field?
To establish yourself as an authority by publishing. That's probably the thing that's helped me the most in terms of starting to get better clients. And, bad clients don't just cost in terms of profitability. Like, they cost in terms of your time, your energy. You're doing all this work, you're not getting paid enough for it, you're resentful about it, they're not getting the value out of it because you're probably not giving them everything that they really need because they're trying to penny pinch. Like, you can just avoid all that by just establishing yourself as the expert so that you can then do what Brian always says, high value work for high value pay.
And the other thing about those low value sort of clients is they take you away from actually helping the people you can help.
Exactly.
So that's great advice. And there you go, people. Again, publishing, establishing yourself as an authority, blogging, speaking. So great. So thanks, Karandra. I've really appreciated you taking the time to spend with me today. Where can people reach out and say thank you?
You can find me at carveldigital.com or on Twitter or Facebook at Carvel Digital. And if you're into cats, you can follow my Instagram, which is basically just food and cats.
Yeah, I saw some of those.
And I have a personal Twitter at Karanda, and my personal website, karanda.com.
Okay, well, we'll have links to all of those in the show notes underneath the Well, I was going to say video, but we're not doing video anymore. underneath the blog post. And finally, Karanda, who would you like to see me interview on a future podcast, and why?
I'm going to send you to Tamala Huntley, and she is another Black woman who has a WordPress-based business. She lives in Florida, so other side of the country from me. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like who I want to be when I grow up in terms of, she's been – I actually interviewed her for my actually, if you go in because you have access to my beta course, so there's a bonus in there, interview with her. And, she's been at this digital marketing thing for 20 years. So – She really has her game together, and she's someone who's moved, from a lot of client focused work to, having different courses and doing educational things. So, I love what she's doing, and I digitally stalk her, and she's
okay,
awesome.
Okay, well, Tamala, if you're listening to this, look out for an invite from me for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Karanda Adair. So thanks very much, Karanda, for your time and your insights with us today on the InnovaBuzz podcast. I've really enjoyed this. I've learned a lot. I've written down lots of notes of things that I want to try out as well. And I will continue to stalk you.
So all right. I look forward to it.
Just letting you know.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I definitely wish you all the best, but, we'll be in touch on the various Facebook groups we're both involved in, and I'm in your beta course as well.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, Karanda.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Karonda as much as I enjoyed interviewing her. She generously shared a lot of great advice and lessons from her own experience, and it was great to hear. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/Karonda Adair. That is KRONDAADAIR. So all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/Karonda Adair. We'll have all the links and everything we spoke about in this episode there in those show notes. Now, Karonda suggested I interview Tamala Huntley, who runs the Ditch Your Desk movement, and she has her own website where she trains entrepreneurs in the use of websites, WordPress marketing, and many other things. And sounds like she's a really innovative entrepreneur. So, Tamala, keep your eye on your inbox for an invitation from me for the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Karonda Adair. To our listeners, thank you for being here. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We'd love you to review the podcast, because not only do reviews help us get found, but your feedback also helps us to improve, and we really appreciate that feedback. You can do that on iTunes or Stitcher, and while you're there, please subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. And as of yesterday, you can also subscribe and listen to the InnovaBuzz podcast on Pocket Casts. So thanks to James Rousseau for that tip. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.